John chapter 11, which is on page 1063 of the Red Pew Bibles. We're going to read from verse 11 in John 11, but shall we pray first? Father, we thank you for the joy and the hope of Easter. Today we think of the millions of Christians around the world who are celebrating this Easter, particularly those who are unable to read and talk and sing openly with others like we have the gift of being able to do. It's amazing how your story in the Bible leaves some people unmoved, while for others the words give us goosebumps. As we read this morning and then listen to Bill's explanation, we ask for your Holy Spirit to pierce through our minds and to change our hearts. Move us to respond to this wonderful good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 11. After Jesus had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now we'll just go to chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. And we're going to read about that life that not only Lazarus had, but that Jesus had as well. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw the stone that had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes." And we'll move on in time to the disciples when they were gathering together a bit later in verse 24. "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Just heard a bit of noise in the pews as I was coming down. Hope it wasn't Bibles being put away, because I want you to keep the Bibles open. Let's do that and listen to God's word as it comes from John 11 and John chapter 20. Before we do, I'm very conscious that words that come out of a person's mouth won't mean much unless the Holy Spirit works and as it reflects the word. So please pray with me. Father in heaven, we come this morning to hear you speak to us. We know that we need the operation of your Holy Spirit so that what we hear with our ears and understand with our minds may also translate right into the depth of our being, to our very heart, a heart change. And so, Holy Spirit, through your word, help us to see Jesus more clearly today and to want to live in the glory of his grace and share this good news with others. And Lord, if there are people here today who are doubting, may today be a day like Thomas saw when he could confess, "My Lord and my God." And so we want to glorify you and worship you, even in our listening and applying the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to be looking broadly at John 11 and John chapter 20. But you can appreciate that one of the most difficult situations anybody has to face today is the death of a family member or a friend. Standing around the graveside, or walking back into the house, or coming to that empty room, or looking at that empty chair can be really painful when you've lost a loved one. And it proves to us that death is a formidable enemy. Death hurts, and parting is sorrow. And we see that so clearly in our John 11 reading, with the whole incident with Mary and Martha, and even Jesus, because the Gospels tell us that when Jesus heard this, he wept, which shows his great humanity. Yet it's in this very context of a death and the sorrow about death that Jesus declares that "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And the scriptures say, do you believe this? And you're going to have to answer that today. Do you believe this? Yes. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad I got a response. Yeah. Okay, so Jesus shows his authority and his power over death. In John 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. And you can imagine in that family, when they're expecting a funeral, they actually welcome their brother home, a glorious day. But you know, 3 months later, Jesus himself is crucified for our sins. In utter darkness, he is forsaken by God. He is abandoned by the Father because he took on our sins and the sins of the whole world. So it's your sin, it's my sin that crucified Jesus. And then after his excruciating death, he was placed in a tomb. But on the third day, we celebrate today that he rose again. He is death's conqueror. And Jesus proved that he is the resurrection. He is the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? After 2,000 years, Jesus is still alive. Can you think about that? He had a physical resurrection. He ascended into heaven. And today, 2,000 years later, he is still alive. Older than Methuselah, he is still alive. That is good news. So here we see that Jesus is risen, and the question that we want to ask this morning is, does it matter? Does it matter to you and to the whole world? Well, let's see what the resurrection is not, because there is a little bit of confusion about the whole idea of resurrection. And then we want to define resurrection biblically and see what the resurrection declares and also what it means to us. That's the goal for this morning. Now, I suspect that after listening to the message this morning, you'll have some questions. That doesn't matter. You can search the Bible, you can talk to me or talk to someone else. But if there are questions, that is good, because then you're thinking and working it through. So, does it matter? And I'm going to suggest to you that it does matter, because understanding and believing in the resurrection of Jesus is a life and death matter for you and for me. Life or death hangs on your response to the resurrected Jesus. Paul says to the Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That's death. So the first thing about the resurrection, what the resurrection isn't. Let's seek to clarify some confusion. Lazarus, as we read in the text, was raised from the dead. And you know what happened? He was given back his mortal body. I say mortal. He was given back his mortal body, his life as it was. It was a miracle, and it was testified to by many witnesses. But this is what happened to Lazarus. He died again. He died again. You see, death has a success rate of 100%. And so everybody sitting here in this room is going to experience death. You will die unless Jesus comes back again in our lifetimes. Now, the resurrection then is not simply life after death. Lazarus received life after death, but he still has a grave. Lazarus, like any one of our departed loved ones, is waiting for the general resurrection of all people on Judgment Day. So death begs the question, what happens when I die? Well, death is the tearing apart of the physical body from our immortal soul. That's why it's so hard. It's a tearing apart of our physical body with our immortal soul. The physical body is buried in the ground or cremated, but it is no more. And our soul, our spirit, our breath lives on for eternity. God's word in Ecclesiastes says, "For God has set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." So at death, we enter a state which we call the disembodied spirit. Our spirit exists, but our body no longer. So we are living as a spirit without a physical body when we die. Now that's really important to just let it sink in. That's what the Bible teaches. Our body goes to the ground, our spirit lives forever. Now, even pagan religions, they have an after-death sort of thinking. Greek philosophy, which has influenced Western thinking a lot, thought of the body as the prison house for the soul And so the Greeks thought that at death, at last the body can break free and be able to be released forever. Now, it's modern secular humanism with no belief in the supernatural that has seduced people into thinking that there's nothing after death. And that is the devil's lie. And so many people swallow it. Most people, especially when confronting death, believe there is something afterwards. And most people still hope that there's a heaven and that they're going to it. So resurrection doesn't simply mean life after death. It's that in part, but there's much more to it. And so let's try to go about defining the resurrection. Resurrection is the new embodied, in a body, eternal physical life after a state of death. I'll repeat that because there's a fair bit there. Resurrection is the new embodied eternal physical life after the state of death. We have a new, never-ending physical life after death. It's the body and the soul that rejoined, come together again in the resurrection. So resurrection to eternal life in Christ is actually the total reversal of death. Resurrection in Christ. Total reversal of death. Hallelujah. It's living in a body and spirit in Christ, never to die again. And so Jesus, on that first Easter Sunday, is the first fruits. He's the prototype of what that looks like in the resurrection life. He physically rose again from the dead, never to die again. And you can see from the text, as we read it in chapter 20, that Jesus could be seen, he could be touched, Jesus could eat, he could cook a barbecue on the beach, he could walk, he could talk with people. So Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life. And if you die believing in Jesus, death does not have the victory. Jesus meets death head on at the cross. And he conquered death. He rose again on the third day. And so, dear friends, if you believe in Jesus, if you're joined to him by faith now in his life and his death in his resurrection, you will share his physical resurrection in eternity. It is the promise that God gives us. What happened to Jesus will also happen to us. But note this, the opposite is also true. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you are still in your sin, in your rebellion against God. And if you die without Christ, you will rise again from the dead on the last day. It will be a bodily resurrection. But to what? It'll be a bodily resurrection into a miserable bodily existence. You would live forever in a culture of bitterness, of hatred, of ungrace, and you'll only have the devil and his hosts for company in eternity. And you would wish that the misery could end, but it won't. No wonder Jesus describes hell as an eternal gnashing and grinding of teeth. There's weeping and sorrow, and it won't go away. Who wants to go to hell? Who really would want to go to hell? But here we see from the text that you will if you reject the resurrected Jesus. So that's about the resurrection, what it means. Let's look at the significance of Christ's resurrection, because something shouts out about Jesus rising again from the dead. A dead Savior is no Savior at all. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, he would be a dead Savior. And Jesus cannot live to intercede for us if he didn't rise again from the dead. A dead person doesn't intercede. And the cross would have absolutely no meaning if Jesus did not rise again from the dead. It would mean that death wins. And if Jesus remained dead, he would never have been seen again. And we see from the text there are many witnesses. It's interesting when we read John 20 that God, who understands human nature, even gives us a skeptic, like Thomas, in the passage, so that we might engage with our doubts. Thomas wouldn't believe the eyewitness testimonies of his fellow disciples. And the Apostle John, a close friend of Jesus, one of the fellow witnesses of his resurrection, tells us that Thomas said to the disciples, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And so when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he invited Thomas to do the very things he said he needed to do. And Thomas saw, and he stopped doubting, and he believed, and he confessed, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus' answer was, "Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus is talking to you and to me when he says that. So it's no surprise that the resurrection of Jesus is the central doctrine of Christianity. And this is where we want to get to what it actually declares. The birth of Jesus, yes, it's really important. But Jesus' resurrection validates his birth, validates his life. It validates his death on the cross. The resurrection is needed for that. And the Apostle Paul, he says the entire Christian faith in 1 Corinthians 15 hinges on Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection declares the hope of eternal life after death. And so he says to the Corinthians, and this is the priority of Paul, if he says, if you want to know what I'm for, this is it. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers, at the same time, most who are still living." In other words, he's saying, you could go and visit them and ask them and they'll tell you. So Paul's gospel is that. Of first importance, Christ rose from the dead. And that is good news. So Christ's resurrection makes this massive declaration to the world and to the heavens and to the devil himself. God says, "I have provided a way back for you. I've provided a way back for sinners to be reconciled. And through the risen Jesus, we can belong to God and live forever in a true and pure relationship with God." That's what the resurrection declares. Let's see in the last place some of the benefits. Now, I'm going to rattle off a whole lot of benefits, and so hopefully you can keep up with this, but you're welcome to get a copy of the message or listen when you download on the internet. The benefits of Christ's resurrection, and I'm just scratching the surface. This is magnificent what the Bible teaches. The benefit of Christ's resurrection to you and to me is that we have a God and Saviour who loves us. How much? He's willing to die for us. We have a God and a King who is more powerful than death. He can give us eternal life. And all the promises that God has given in Scripture about a messianic king, a descendant of David, who would rule an everlasting kingdom, have been fulfilled in Jesus. His resurrection declares that. And the living Jesus will return to establish his throne on earth and rule over a kingdom that extends over all of creation. The benefit of Christ's resurrection to us is that every word of Jesus comes true. He said he would rise, he would die and rise again, and he did. He said he would rule and return to judge the living and the dead, and he will. That is our hope. He is my hope. And I just pray that he is your hope today as well. Jesus' resurrection guarantees the forgiveness of all our sins in the past, in the present, in the future. Imagine that. His resurrection guarantees that. Christ's resurrection guarantees our glorious resurrection He came first, and we will follow. And death has been defeated, so we don't have to fear it. It is painful, yes. We don't have to fear it, because the resurrection of Jesus has taken the sting out of death. It's now a curtain through which we enter to be forever with God. And the power that raised Jesus, the Bible says, is the power that is available in us through the Holy Spirit. And I keep on being blown away by that message in Ephesians. We don't even know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to live in 10% of the resurrection power of Jesus in my life. I really don't. And the risen Christ, another benefit of his resurrection, is that he stands before God the Father's throne on our behalf. And so when God looks at us in Christ, he sees not just us, he sees through us, and he sees Christ in us, Christ's death and resurrection. And so we wear the righteousness of Jesus. We have blamelessness. We have holiness in God's sight. That's what he sees when he looks at us in Christ. And that's true even for you today. I don't know what's been happening in your life, but I know this, that if you call upon Jesus, then whatever you have done, it is forgiven and held against you no more. Christ's resurrection I might be a bit animated, but that's because the subject is so good. Christ's physical and bodily resurrection also matters now. You know, sometimes you think that this is all future. But what it does is Christ's resurrection signals that God is still interested in his creation. God is beginning to do the work of restoration of all that he's made, and he's going to deal with corruption in the fall by raising Jesus. And so Jesus' resurrection benefit to us is a new society has started. And in God's mind, the church is to represent that new society in Christ. And so culture and creation are going to be redeemed. The earth is being reclaimed and restored. And Christ is the first fruits. Paul says in the Romans, creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And so this process has already started in the resurrection of Christ. Part of it is now, part of it is not yet. But we are part of God's reconciliation and restoration process even now. And that's why art matters. That's why what we see behind us is a declaration of the gospel. It is the redeeming of culture that has started to happen. And we see that in education, in medicine, wherever you are, you can be part of God's restoration and reconciliation. And so who we tell about Jesus matters now. And what we do for Jesus with our bodies and our minds in transforming culture matters now because of the resurrection. And in between Christ's resurrection and his return, we live in the last days. This is the time for the gospel to go out. This is the time to be telling other people about Jesus and God's grace and mercy. Today is this day of salvation. We're called to repent and believe and trust in the risen Lord and declare him to be my Lord, my God, your God. Hebrews 9 says this, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment in Christ, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time not to bear sin but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So let's conclude by wrapping these thoughts together. We have heard what Christ's declaration declares. God has made a way for us to belong to him. We've heard some of the benefits There are such amazing benefits now and in the future. And you are either with Christ or you are against him. The Bible is saying today, you cannot remain neutral or indifferent to the resurrection of Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And the way you answer that today is a life or death matter. Where do you stand? I'm for life. I'm going to open my heart out to you. I'm for life. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting because I believe in the risen Jesus. And if you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Great Lord, mighty God, Heavenly Father, risen Jesus, powerful Spirit, we thank you, Lord, for this message today that you are alive, that you are able to hear our prayers, our singing, you can see our fellowship, our community, and you are building a new community here on earth. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may look more like you every day, that we'll live in the power of the resurrected Christ. Lord, help us to see where we are really hardly touching the accelerator in our Christian life and where we can be fully on board where you want us to be. O God in heaven, thank you for your mercy in sending us Jesus and raising him from the dead. You have declared to heaven and earth and even to the devil that he has no hold over us. Because of Jesus, we have life, life everlasting. Lord, how could we possibly keep that news to ourselves? We need to tell our friends, our neighbours, who will perish in a physical, eternal resurrection without Jesus. Lord, let us be fearful of that and beg them to hear the good news and be saved and belong to Jesus. We pray this on this Easter Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen.